Welcome to What Is It About the Weather? I'm your host, Mark Jelinek, and this is the weekly podcast where we talk all things weather-related. Not so much about the weather, as you know by now. Weather forecast, you're not going to find it here. But if you're interested in the way weather intertwines into our lives every day, maybe in surprising ways or new ways you've never thought about, this is the podcast for you. Now, this week we're going to be talking about what apps for your smartphone are best for weather alerts specifically. You know, we've hit on a few of these topics before with radar apps and best weather apps, that sort of thing. But specifically this time, we're going to be talking about weather alerts. But before we dive into the main topic, let me just say I hope you've had an enjoyable intertwined weather week. Mine was interesting on a few ways in that front. So don't forget, we're still in hurricane preparedness week. You know, that's one of those words. I was thinking about that this morning. It's like statistics. I have to think about it before I say it, or else I end up with some sort of tongue-tied answer coming out of my mouth. But you heard me mention it last week, and I mention it again because it's a very important thing that if you live anywhere, I don't care whether it's in the U.S. or other places around the globe, where tropical cyclones can make landfall. One of the important challenges of being aware is how diverse the risks are with that and how long-lasting they can be. And we've seen this, you know, around the globe. You know, the inland impacts from these events can last days, and, you know, some of the devastation can last years, but it's not something that's going to come and go. So take the time, if you live in one of these regions, to think about what you're doing and what your game plan is should a tropical cyclone come your way. Now, one of the other interesting things I had this week, I heard from a friend that I don't want to mention their name because he didn't give me permission in advance. Ooh, I just said he. So now we've at least narrowed down half the population, right? Somebody who works at a large weather media company reached out to me with a question about big data. And it was just funny because, you know, one, he distracted me and had me spend time chasing a rabbit down a hole, but it reminded me, and we've talked about this on the big data episode in the past. It's an interesting time we live because big data, the data exists, and that's the interesting thing now. It's the how can we get useful information out of the data that we're still struggling with. And this was another case. He was looking to answer a question that was theoretically, in his mind, it was straightforward. Now, me as somebody who spent time coding and working with computer programming, I understand why it's not. But I really do have to imagine someday we're going to turn to our Amazon device or our Google device or our Apple device, whichever it is, that smart device that's just sitting in our home, and we're going to ask a simple question like he was asking, and it's going to be able to get the answer. Now, we're a long way from that with a lot of data, but some components of data were already there. So that was just one of those kind of interesting sidetracks I got onto this week. The most recent one, though, was actually came up this morning, right, as I was getting ready to prepare for recording the show. I saw a post on Facebook from a friend of mine, Brad Barrett. Dr. Brad Barrett, I should say, properly. He is a professor at the U.S. Naval Academy. And I met Brad years ago in Chile when he was working in a postdoc position down in Santiago, Chile, with the department there that I've done work with as well. And I think I've mentioned on a past podcast, I can't remember 100%. It really doesn't matter. In any case, one of the interesting things about Brad is you couldn't meet a nicer guy. Brad's just a great guy, very bright and intelligent guy. But one of the things, all those things, you know, you kind of come to know about Brad, but Brad is a very tall guy. And I was looking for some post. I've seen some posts where he posted before about, you know, how tall he is, and I can't remember exactly. It's somewhere in that 6'4 to 6'6 range, if I'm remembering correctly. Sorry, Brad, if I got that wrong. But one of the funny things he posts on Facebook from time to time is his leg shots when he's on planes and how little leg room he ends up with on different flights. But the interesting thing in the intertwined weather piece this week, not only is he a professor at the U.S. Naval Academy, but once a year he does the storm chasing trips where he takes a group of, and I believe most of the time they're students of his, but this year they're kicking off, and if you do at USNA for U.S. Naval Academy SWIFT, SWIFT, and I know that's an acronym for something else. And guys, I'm sorry if I'm not remembering that right off the top of my head, but do look for that. They post pictures of their chase in Facebook. In the past, they've used Twitter. I don't think they've used that as much the past couple of years, but they've also updated a website with profiles on who's going with them this year. It's a mix of, I think, four girls. But they posted a picture this morning, and one of the things I laughed at is while there are a couple of the guys, they're almost as tall as Brad. Brad's still the tallest guy in the room. And again, some of the pictures in Chile, for those that have never spent any time in Chile, you don't really appreciate that the ceilings generally are lower there. And I can remember even the staircase I had in a house I lived in that Brad would have had a hard time with it because I'm not a tall guy and I was almost scraping my head on the roof. And so I can just think of all these times where even in the U.S. where Brad has to kind of duck in to places, but follow their trip. And hopefully they'll have some, as I told him, some enjoyable but safe storm chasing. Any case, good luck, Brad, and the team with USNA Swift 2017. All right, let's jump into the main story this week. What app is best for weather alerts? Now, this was born out of an episode, I want to say, back in early March, we talked about keeping alerted for weather in this changing universe with smart devices and all the stuff that we had going on and this multi-generational piece. Now, as a spinoff of that, one of the things I wanted to do, and I mentioned it in that episode, was really look at some of the apps that are out there in the marketplace today and see which were best at alerting. Now, I have real concerns about people focusing and using just apps, but at the same time, they're great in cases where we've not gotten coverage before. So there's kind of that yin-yang, and we'll talk a little bit about this. But in this world, where we're becoming smartphone-centric, right? We're getting to where these smart devices kind of, you know, run our lives. That's not a good way to think about it, but a critical aspect of our lives. It's the primary source that we gather lots of information every day. Now, I know it's not always on a smartphone. Sometimes it's on a smartwatch or a wearable, or sometimes it's on a tablet, or, you know, you may still get stuff on your PC, but more and more, these mobile devices are allowing us to gather and get and share and manipulate and work with data in a way that we've never had before anywhere we go. So it's logical to think, how can I leverage that to make sure that when a weather event goes down, a serious weather event, not run-of-the-mill stuff, not checking the forecast, not wondering what's going on, maybe somewhere around the globe, when something serious is going on, what apps can I depend on to make sure that I get the alerts that I need? Now, there's some inherent issues with this, and these are things to always think about when you're picking an app or when you're changing apps that maybe you've used. And there's some very fundamental things that are very different about working with apps in the smartphone space that we never had to think about with things like a weather radio or a television station keeping you informed or a radio station, whatever it might be, however you kept informed before. And these are just very simple things on the device itself. It could be as simple as the operating system on the device going through an update. And it doesn't have to even be a major version update. It can be a small update. Or it can be the app going through an update itself. And these things can trigger potential problems with any of these apps that we use. And that's important to keep in mind. And we'll get about things to keep in mind given those concerns or limitations or changes that are kind of constantly going on. If you've got a smart device, you probably notice any given day that thing may update two or three of the apps, or you may get an update today and an update tomorrow. And this is very different from how software and bug updates used to go in kind of the past generations of the computer-oriented world, where a lot of bug testing and all these things went into play, or, you know, back in the days before there was internet, getting the updates was a lot more involved. You know, one of the other things that kind of came to mind with all these things as I was had that episode a few back was that text component that was available in Australia. And we'll talk about it today, but we really are going to focus on apps more than we are text messages. And the other piece that's come into play, and it was one of the things that actually drove me to think about this some more, was a few years back, we had a standard come out for wireless emergency alerts. Now, I don't know 100% if this is a global thing or if this was a U.S.-centric thing, but for sure here in the U.S., most of the carriers have adopted it. And maybe you have seen it. If you've ever gotten an Amber Alert on your phone about a missing child or some other sort of special alert, those come through the same alert system. And essentially what it boils down to is the cell phone tower that's sending you a signal knows where you are, right? Because it's receiving the request from your phone to keep you updated or replace a phone call to you. And it will alert you if you're in one of the regions where one of these alerts come out. Now, the first one of these I ever saw that was weather related was for a tornado warning last year. However, what I did notice is that other times it wasn't delivering alerts. And I've come to find out that it really only does it in what they deem as life-threatening situations. So tornado warnings and hurricane warnings. There are some other, you know, I forget the exact list of things, but most of them, okay, do not involve the majority of weather alerts you might get and you may deem still life-threatening or at least property-threatening that you want to be kept informed with. So while that's a step in the right direction, it's not enough in my mind for coverage. And you can't, it's a good backup for extreme events that you might categorize a tornado or a hurricane. But the other thing that's strange with it is it's particularly hard to manage. It very much depends on who your service provider is, what device you have, as to what subset of submenus within the subsystem that you have to get to manage whether you even get these alerts or not. And you do have the flexibility to turn it off. And some things turn it off by default, others turn it on, and then you have to go turn it off if you don't want to get them all. But for the most part, you want to get the messages that it has. I know some people are not keen on getting Amber Alerts, but you know what? If you could save a life, wouldn't you want to? Interestingly, here in the U.S., and I know the standard is here. I do think it is used in other parts of the globe. You could turn off a great many pieces of what's sent to you, except for the presidential alert. So there is at some level that you're not allowed to turn it off. But for the amount that you get and how important they are, I recommend leaving them on. But I, like I said, fundamentally, it still falls short, right? Now, no matter what we say with these apps, and which app you might go with, and which one you might select, and which one you might depend on, I still, as I mentioned back in that episode in March, recommend a redundancy type system, and something off the phone is ideal. Whether that's a weather radio in parts of the world that have that option available to them, whether it's a website you go to, whether it is text alerts, I don't like the idea that it's coming to that same device, or you have media outlets you count on. But again, keep in mind that if you're not watching TV or you're not listening to the radio and you're not aware of what's going on, even if you were smart enough to check the weather forecast that day and know you should be keeping alert, this might still be your primary source. Redundancy is important, and I do recommend it. But I'm a realist. I know for a lot of people, this may be the only way you get alerts. So I'd rather you get good alerts and accurate alerts than none at all. So let's talk about kind of getting to the apps in general. Now, when I was thinking about where to get recommendations on apps, you know, because you get into, you know, a status quo sort of scenario, right? And I had a set that I used. But I wanted to make sure I was getting good coverage. So I went to a variety of places. Now, as you guys know, and I've mentioned before, I participate in a local television stations here, kind of online group. So I solicited from that group. When this was all going on as I started to do this research, when I was teaching this semester, so I talked to some folks on campus and what their recommendations were. I even heard this week, oddly enough, from another podcast about somebody internationally, and I did try to keep that in mind when I was evaluating these things. It's a little trickier, right? Because I can't confirm the alerts, but I did at least take the input and what might be available around the globe. And like I said, the whole Australia signing up for automated text messages or even phone calls, that option was something that, you know, I considered with it and kind of that international component. And then just social media in general. When these severe weather events are going on, you see all the people that are making recommendations. I saw some from the National Weather Service office here near where I live. Some others from, I saw a post from somebody who I mentioned before, Marshall Shepard, who teaches at the University of Georgia and has a column on Forbes. And I don't think he wrote about this topic necessarily. Maybe he did. Maybe he's done an article at some point, but he referenced some different apps, some ones that I'd never seen. So looked at all sorts of things, all sorts of inputs from both people that I think of as being in the industry, as well as more, and kind of more importantly in my mind, the users, people who use these apps on a regular basis, some weather enthusiasts, some not, to try to make sure I had a good subset to consider. Because let's be real, you can go on the App Store today and type in weather, and it's a laundry list, right? There's just tons of them out there. So how do you muddle through that? And let's be real, I don't have time to consider every app. And anybody who does reviews doesn't have time to consider everything that's out there. They get some section based on things that bubble up to the top. Might be other recommendations, might be some short list they've created in their mind. But in any case, I didn't want it to be just my thoughts. I wanted to make sure. So I did. I used about 20 different apps. And I'm not going to get into all of them because some of them just were not any good in my mind. And some were local because I wanted to see how the local apps compared to some of the more national or international apps. And I went through and used a couple of episodes. One of them was literally, I was teaching one day and we had some severe weather going on outside around us at that point in time. And so I even brought this into the classroom. And we all took our mobile devices out because, it's a group of people that are likely to have a bunch of apps. And we set it out there and we incorporated into that day because literally it was severe weather going on. And so alerts were going off on our phones and we were like, okay, this one's first, that one's first. But in the end of all that, there were three apps that stood out in terms of consistent delivery and timely delivery of those alerts. And I think I may have mentioned this before. Sometimes I get alerts for some programs. It's like the next day. I'm like, seriously? Now, this gets into that very fundamental problem about app updates, OS updates, the last time you rebooted your phone. All these things can come into play. However, if an app is inconsistent due to any of those things, it's a worry. And two of these apps, actually all three of them were ones I've used before. Okay, but I hadn't necessarily used them for warnings. So each of them were ones I had experience with as an app, although only one of them was one that I had used for alerts. So it is important to keep in mind that your results may vary. I just know that between myself and others as we watched that day that had some other apps installed and maybe installed these for the first times or maybe had these already installed on another device, these were the consistent best performers. The first was the FEMA app. Now, this is, going to be U.S.-centric, clearly. And it's not even a weather app, right? It's an emergency kind of alert app, informational app. It's very basic, very, simplistic in its design. But hands down, the FEMA app has given me the best alerts weather-wise up to this point. And it did the same for other people, some that had already had the app. And again, there was a local version. I live in a state here in the United States called Georgia, as you probably know. And GEMA has their own app. It was a good app, but it wasn't as fast. And sometimes precise speed, like when you're getting a watch or a warning that's coming for something you've got 20 or 30 minutes on, that may be fine. But if there's a tornado and you got a couple of minutes to react, it's just not good enough. And if you're going to count on your smartphone for that piece of information, it's just not good enough. But the FEMA app lets you design a few locations. And that's a nice thing if you're traveling somewhere. Now, what I found its downside is it wasn't necessarily geolocating you. You did need to tell it where you were. But if you were going on a trip and wanted to add a location, you could easily do that. However, if you're on a trip and you're going along, it may not be as useful from that standpoint. But hands down, time and time again, it's given me the most timely information of any of the apps. And it's not even a weather app, right? It's not designed to be your go-to weather app. And that's maybe some ways why it's better in this component, because it's not cluttered with other things that it's trying to do. Now, the second was an app that I've mentioned before when I did the radar app reviews, and it's one I like, it's one I've used, called My Radar. And it does no alerts. And consistently, it performs well. It didn't perform quite as fast as the FEMA app. But one of the things I do like about the app is I do use it for other things. Now, My Radar is a little different. It's geared towards big picture views in a lot of ways. And I actually like that, being somebody who's worked with tropical cyclones and hurricanes. A lot of times I like to think it is a bigger picture. Some of the radar apps and some of the better radar apps are very focused on the local and not so much what's going on two states away or a country over, depending where you are. And one of the nice things about My Radar is it has radar locations from other parts of the globe. Now, from what I can tell, however, the alerts are still only for the U.S. But if you're in the U.S. and you like just weather components in general, not so much the forecast, but maybe just looking at what's going on with the radar, this is an app for you. And around the globe, it may still be useful. And maybe at some point they'll add some of the other alert systems, because there are alert systems, whether it's in Canada, whether Europe has a unified alert system, and other countries I know do too. And, you know, a lot of times you might have to count on an app from that agency. It's always good to know wherever you are what app might be available that gives you those alerts. And, of course, you always want the benefit of hopefully testing it out. But, again, My Radar has some international link, but not necessarily on the alert front. Now, the third is Storm by Weather Underground, and you guys have heard me mention this before. Storm is one of those apps for me, and still on a newer phone, fast phone, I find it to be a bit slow in its overall functionality. I think probably because it's trying to do so much. But it's a pretty thorough app. It doesn't give me everything I want. And you, when I did the review of weather apps, you heard me mention this app, and it's close on that front. But from an alert standpoint, it was also a consistent performer. Again, FEMA stood out ahead of the other two. And yeah, I don't know. It could be because they've got some sort of special relationship with the government here that it does that. I don't know. I don't know if they're getting the same feed or some sort of priority feed, given who they are. But these other two were definitely strong performers. Now, one of the things I really do like about Storm for the international audience is in Europe and in Canada, for sure those two, they also have the alert system tied in. Now, haven't tested it, and I recommend that you do. And actually, I'd be interested to hear feedback from anybody who's ever used it and used that feature. Because the Europeans have a website that they use, and I'm sure there's a lot of apps. Even here in the U.S., there are companies that's what they do. They focus on the app, not so much the app piece, but on the alert piece. But in terms of the apps, these were hands down the best three. There were others that were good, right? And it performed reasonably well. But these three stood out above the others. So whether you're looking for something here in the U.S. or around the globe, hopefully one of these three, and maybe it's worth, like I said, trying. Don't count on any one of them. Try a couple of them. And I'll put the links in the show notes so that you can look them up and find them. And as far as I know, they're available on the two primary platforms, both iOS and Android. So hopefully you can get them loaded on your thing. Now, one of the things I didn't talk about today was this text messaging option that I was interested about in Australia. There are, for instance, services here in the U.S., but most of the companies usually work with local emergency management. So like if you live in a community where they use the service, you can get it. And in some locations, it's just not readily available. It's not like the system in Australia where you kind of sign up through the government for this program and it takes care of it. We don't have that luxury here. But if you do have that option in your local community, look into it. There's also even the National Weather Service has a list of providers that do that sort of thing, that send text messages. And I did test the text message thing. It seems to work well. It's not as useful for me because the alerts with apps, this is one of the things I like about apps, is they have a little more control about what that looks like in your notification bar or on your screen when you get the alert. Versus the text message, so often you have to get in, you actually have to open the phone, get to the app, or get to your messages thing to read the fullness of the message. And hopefully they've done it in such a way that says, that starts with tornado warning or severe thunderstorm warning and then gets into the details. But I didn't find that to always be the case, which is an interesting thing. It's kind of like, in your notification bar, it tells you you got a notification from XYZ. And by the time you run out of digits, right, to tell you what it is, really matter, right? That's a big piece of the equation. So I still think it's worthwhile having that. It's one of the nice things about messaging is because of the protocol that's used is so generic and so old, which is part of the problem about why, you know, maybe the notification screen stuff doesn't work as well. But despite that, it's more robust. It's kind of tested. So it might be something to, again, add into that backup or that multi-pronged approach. Still, the fail is if your phone's not working or whatever, then none of these things are going to be worthwhile. Now, with all these things, no matter which app you choose or the text messages or whatever it is, things to keep in mind. Yeah, I mentioned having more than one app. I still recommend that. Right? Find at least two that consistently get, whether it's the, you know, two of the three I mentioned, or like I said, if you have a local television station and their app works well, use it. Nothing wrong with that. Take advantage of that. Or if you have one that for some reason works well on your phone or your operating system, just make sure that, you know, it consistently works. And the tricky thing is, right, how do you test it with things that aren't as important? And one of the things I recommend is if you live in an area with severe weather, you usually, the warning is not the first thing you get. So make sure that the notifications are such that you can get things like a watch, right? Something that might be happening. And that's kind of your indication of how well it worked. Feel free to do your own test. I mean, again, you know, there was stuff that was put out by the Red Cross, even kind of like FEMA, that wasn't necessarily a weather app. They just didn't work as well for me. Not saying they weren't good, but from a timely standpoint, they weren't up there in that top tier like these three were. But the other thing to keep in mind with all this is one of the interesting apps that I saw that was recommended, and I was even looking at some stuff the other day, somebody had a patent on something they had done with it. So, you know, somebody clearly spent some time. But the app didn't perform well. And then I go to look in the App Store, and the app hasn't been updated in 2 or 3 years. Now, in app world, that's not frequent enough. Communication channels change. OSs change. And if you're not keeping up with that stuff as an app developer, then for this kind of thing, you're in real danger. So do look for apps that have frequent updates that are kept up to date. And make sure since the last time you've used it in an important situation that it's received an update. And if not, go and look at the reviews and make sure that they're keeping it up. Like I said, I was surprised how long it had been because this had been an app that was one of the budding stars a few years ago and has just kind of fallen off. And those things happen. And it happens with apps all the time, including gobs of weather apps, right? And I don't care as much about, you know, if you're just getting a swag at the temperature for the day. But when you're counting on it to save your life and your property and those around you that you care about, it does matter. So keep those things in mind. All right, time to wrap it up. I ran longer on this one than I thought I was going to. Any case, in case you're interested, no, I still haven't found my perfect weather app. And yes, I still design it in my head constantly. So even in looking at all these things and all these updates and everything I looked at, there's not a perfect weather app. There are lots of good sub-weather apps. There's lots of things that get most of the way there. I mentioned this storm app that I think is pretty good, but none of them do everything I want to do. Maybe someday there'll be a Mark app. Mark's Weather. What is it about the weather app? No, I don't have time for that, no matter how good and wonderful my ideas are. All right, let's let you get out of here. You know the drills. If you want to get in touch, whatisitabouttheweather@gmail.com, or just go to whatisitabouttheweather.com and go to contact us and use the form. Either's fine. And don't forget, the support means a lot. You know the RSVP method. Rate, share, validate, and pledge. Just go to whatisitabouttheweather.com/support. Read a little bit more about it sometime. Or some other episode, I'll get into more detail. But anyways, we're reaching that time barrier that I don't like to extend over too much. So I'm going to let you go. And may you have an enjoyable and safe weather intertwined week. Because as we all know, there's much more to weather than the weather itself.
We're tired of hearing our uncle grovel, so please support him on patreon.com/weather.
This is Two Words Super Production.